refined in the trial. You learn about the Sabbath, then you have to act on it. Bible faith, belief requiring an action. So you take the day off. And guess what? The devil is right there. You're thinking, oh, I've done what God wanted now, and he's going to protect me because I'm obeying him, and he's going to make the way clean. You didn't think a Savior who died on the cross and took that beating is just going to stand by and just let you have it free? Come on, now he's Jewish. He's Jewish. Think about it for a minute. Yeah, praise God, he's Jewish. He's standing back and telling Satan, okay, bust him out of it. And we're like, oh, we just want it so easy now. I made the decision to obey you. But you got a whole lifetime track record of thumbing your nose in his face. He's telling Satan to bust you out of the Sabbath because he wants you to stand up and be an adult and show him, I really did get it, and I really will do it, and it doesn't matter what it costs me. He's not worried about your easy time, and he's not worried about your trial or your heartache or your pain and your suffering, because he knows that pain with his spirit's going to make character in you. We came in characters. We're going to go out with character. Come on. That's what he's in the business to do. So this calls for a mind with wisdom. The seven heads are seven hills on which the woman sits. That's Rome. That's Rome. It's the Roman Empire. This man gets his power from the resurrection of the Roman Empire. Oh, people want to make it different cities, but it's Rome on which the woman sits. Who's the whore that rides the beast? The Catholic Church. The woman, the false church, sits in Rome. She doesn't sit in Mecca. She sits in Rome. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen. One is and the other's not yet come. When the revelation came, five of the resurrections of the Holy Roman Empire had fallen. One was in existence at that moment, and one was yet to come. But when he does come, the other is not yet come. But when he does come, he must remain for a little while. The beast who once was and now is not is an eighth king. He belongs to the seven and is going to his destruction. Okay. The eighth king comes out of the seventh kingdom. Right? He comes out of the seventh resurrection of the Roman Empire. He's just the man and goes to his destruction. But make no mistake, there are seven resurrections of the Holy Roman Empire, and as of today, six of them have come and gone, and one remains to show up. So it's dead. The Holy Roman Empire is the beast who was killed with the head wound and is dead and is about to come back to life again in front of everybody's face. Some people think I'm crazy. Do you not realize that the European Parliament building in Brussels, Belgium right now is built to look like a modern day replica of an emerging Tower of Babel being rebuilt? That's what they said it was. That's not what I said it was. That's what they tell you when you look it up. You can go look it up. Do you realize that in front of this building is a giant statue of a woman riding a beast? That's the emblem on their coins. That's the emblem of the European Union, is a woman riding a beast. I didn't make this up. You can go on the internet and look all this up in the EU right now. It's on the coins. The 10 horns you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but for 1 hour will receive authority as kings along with the beast. So there's 10 kings that are going to make the beast demand king. And people say, well, that can't be true because there's 22 nations in the European Union. Or 20-something, after I've lost count now. But you know what? That doesn't matter. Because 22 nations don't share power in the European Union. Only 10 nations have power in the European Union. Through a little-known organization set up during the Cold War called the Western European Union, those 10 nations have all the military authority and power in the European Union. And the ordinance that makes that so is number 666. Those 10 nations all have monarchical families. Some of them are constitutional monarchies, like Holland still has a queen. Spain still has a king. The ruling royal family of France is still around, and so is the ruling royal family of Germany, and the ruling royal family of Austria died as a member of the European Parliament, and his dad was the last Holy Roman Emperor. These people are all still there. They're all still waiting to give their power to the beast. It's all in place. It's waiting on the United States to be removed from power so they can step up and take their place on the world stage as the last beast power. Do you not see it all happening around you? They're arming up, by the way. They're arming up. Germany has already placed its second order for the new Eurofighters, and we just canceled the Raptor. Come on. They're arming and we're disarming. Do you not know that Vladimir Putin and our president went and signed a protocol which our president is going to implement by executive order, not by treaty requiring Senate confirmation, to decimate our strategic nuclear forces? And worse, he's going to disallow us the use of our nuclear submarines to carry nuclear weapons. That's always been our ace in the hole against the whole world. They couldn't tell where our subs are. So he's going to disarm our subs in front of the whole world, and China is putting a squadron of nuclear-powered, nuclear-armed subs around the world. This is in the news. I'm not telling you anything new. This is months old. How many of y'all 2 years ago saw that one of those nuclear Chinese subs surfaced right behind an aircraft carrier and arrived in that fleet undetected? That rattled some cages. Surfaced behind an aircraft carrier undetected. Man, we've got more attack subs around that carrier than most of us can count. We've got planes circling over that are sub-hunting planes, and they stealthily brought that sub in without our knowing it. That's not cool. You can sink hundreds of millions of dollars nuclear aircraft carrier with a $2,500 torpedo. That's not cool. Our military might could be brought down because we're sinning. It's not the men's fault. It's not the people in the military's fault. It's the civilians' fault who sin with reckless abandon in this country. Judgment's coming because we don't want to live right. You know what that means? It means their blood will be on our hands. We're not living right. God's going to punish us because of our sins. They have one purpose. And they have one will, and they will give their power and authority to the beast, and they will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them because he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. Okay? No man can come to Jesus except the Father call him. Chosen, you determine by whether or not you're willing to live his way of life, because many come in and not many are allowed to stay. And we don't tell you to go. The Lord sends you out. And then you got to be faithful. It means you got to be faithful. I can't make you any of those things. You and God determine whether you are called, chosen, and faithful. You and God determine whether you will be with the Lord when he comes back to make war against the beast power. Will you be called, chosen, and faithful? Will you be called, chosen, and faithful? See, that's a very important point that we all need to be focused in on Teshuvah. Will we be called, chosen, and faithful? Because he's not bringing everybody, just those who are called, chosen, and faithful. The angel said to me, we're not going to go there right now. Let's go to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, talking about the beast, talking about this beast man who's going to rule this world, the Antichristos. Daniel chapter 12, verse 7. The man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river lifted his right hand and his left hand toward heaven, and I heard him swear by him who lives forever and ever, saying, it will be for a time, a times, and half a time. So there you go. A times, time, times, and half a times. There's your 3.5 years. When the power of the holy people has finally been broken, all these things will be completed. So that's what this man is going to come to power, and he's going to have 3.5 years to rule this earth. He's going to have 3.5 years to wreck the power. The power of the holy people is weak, but it's not yet been broken. And when our power has been broken, this man will rise to power. Go back to Revelation 11. We'll start doing some flipping here. I got to speed up. I've been talking too much. We got to get rolling. I literally could take 5 weeks to do this. Y'all realize this, right? To do every verse here, a little there, a little. It would take 5 weeks. I'm trying to do it in one shot. It's tough. Revelation 11, verse 1. I was given a reed like a measuring rod and was told, go and measure the temple of God and the altar and count the worshipers there. So we're in the temple precincts right here where the altar of incense is before the throne of the living God with the menorah and the throne. And he's saying, count the worshipers there. There are people who through the Spirit of God supernaturally are worshiping God the Father right at his throne while they're on planet Earth. You need to be one of those people because look at the next part. But exclude the outer court. Do not measure it because it has been given to the Gentiles. They will trample on the holy city for 42 months. So there you have three ways to measure it. The woman is going to be protected from the serpent times, time, and half a time. He is going to be given power to rule for 1260 days. He is going to be given power to rule for 42 months. There's your three ways. They're all the same. Prophetic months are 30 days. 42 of them is 1260 days. Three ways to measure it, but it's all the same 3.5 years of time. And I will also give power to my two witnesses, and I will, and they will prophesy for 1260 days. So during the 3.5 years, the time and a half a time that the woman is taken beyond the reach of the serpent, the beast is going to be ruling on earth for those same 42 months, wrecking havoc on those left behind. And the two witnesses will be prophesying during that time for 1260 days. All going on at the same time. These are the two olive trees, the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. If anyone tries to harm them, fire comes from their mouths and devours their enemies. This is how anyone who wants to harm them must die. These men have the power to shut up the sky so that it will not rain during the time they're prophesying. And that's exactly what Elijah did. He prayed to God it did not rain for 3.5 years, same time frame. And they have the power to turn the water into blood and to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they want. And when they finish their testimony, the beast that comes up from the abyss will attack them. That's this world-ruling EU superpower that's coming up out of the abyss from the devil is going to have them put to death. And their bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is figuratively called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. So we know they're going to be prophesying in Jerusalem. And these men are going to turn the house of Israel back to their God. And 12,000 of each of the 12 tribes of Israel are going to be saved. We don't have to save the Jewish people now. He's going to do it while the church is being persecuted and we're at the wedding supper. They have their own special time with him. It's coming. For 3.5 days, people from every tribe, language, and nation will gaze on their bodies and refuse them burial. And the inhabitants of the earth will gloat over them and will celebrate by sending each other gifts because these two prophets had tormented those who live on the earth. But after 3.5 days, a breath of life from God will enter them. And they stood on their feet and terror struck those who saw them. And then I heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they went up to heaven in a cloud while their enemies looked on. At that very hour, there was a severe earthquake and a tenth of the city collapsed and 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake. And the survivors were terrified and gave glory to God in heaven. These two witnesses are going to do the work. Turn over to Revelation 7, verse 1. They're going to get these Jewish people, these Israelites, saved during the work. We don't have to do that now. All Israel will be saved. We've got to get the last Gentile saved so we can get out of here. We've got to make sure that we're living the right life so we can be rescued. Come on, somebody. Rescue. We like rescue. Amen. The Greek word is the same word used of saved. They use saved and rescued interchangeably. Oh, wow. If you're saved, you're supposed to get rescued. That's why they confuse it. But God's not going to rescue you if you're not living right. So it doesn't matter if you're saved or not, if you're not living right. Living right's what keeps you in the rescue and gets you out of the tribulation. Living wrong while you're saved is what puts you into tribulation. Come on. Revelation 7, verse 1. After this, I saw the four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of heaven to prevent any wind from blowing on the land or on the sea or on any tree. And then I saw another angel coming from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he called out in a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the land and the sea. Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we've put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. And then I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 from all the tribes of Israel, 12, as you can see below, from each tribe. That's the work of the two witnesses. We can't do their work for them. Right now, Jesus' hand is on the eyes of Judah, so they cannot see. We can't take his hand off. None of us are strong enough to peel his hand off of their eyes. We've got to save those who God has called, and we've got to get them Torah observant and spirit filled, because that's the ticket out of here. There is no other way. Revelation 13, verse 1. You know, the Antichrist is supposed to come and sit on the temple, on the throne in the temple of God, and proclaim himself to be God, as it says in 2 Thessalonians. And the Temple Institute says they can build that temple in 42 months. So during the time of the two witnesses, they have time to rebuild the temple. And at the end of the 3.5 years, the Antichrist is going to break his 7-year treaty with Israel. It all fits, doesn't it? What better way to break his treaty than to sit on the throne of God and proclaim himself to be God and then persecute the Jewish people for not accepting him as their Messiah? Wow. That's heavy. Now, we left off here with the devil making war against the offspring of the church, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Look what comes next. And the dragon stood on the shore of the sea, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea. And the sea always represents the people. So this beast is going to rise out of the peoples of the earth. And he had 10 horns and 7 heads with 10 crowns on his horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. And the beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had the feet of a bear and the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave the beast his power, his throne, and his great authority. This is an amalgamation of the four beasts of Daniel, the lion of Nebuchadnezzar, the bear of Persia, the leopard of Alexander the Great, and the great and dreadful beast of the Roman Empire, who trampled the residue and devoured all in front of him. This is an amalgamation. Every one of these world-ruling Gentile empires has taken from the root of all the ones before it. And now this final resurrection is going to be the worst of all of them. Oh, wow. We're not playing here. We're not trifling. We're in the big time. And one of the heads of the beast seemed to have had a fatal wound. But the fatal wound had been healed. And the whole world was astonished and followed the beast. The Holy Roman Empire has been destroyed for over 100 years. The last emperor of the Holy Roman Empire was Franz Joseph over the Austrian-Hungarian Empire, which was destroyed in World War I. And when it comes back to life again, people are going to marvel. And they're going to follow it. You know why they're going to follow it? European Union trade representatives are all over the world right now cutting secret deals. And while we have a protectionist Congress that wants no more trade deals, they're bad for American jobs. The European Union is sewing up world trade everywhere. You know what I'm saying is true, brother. And here's the point of it. When we make a deal, oh, you trade with us and we'll trade with you and we'll have free duties. But we don't say you can't trade with everybody else. When the European Union comes in and says, we'll trade free with you and you've trade free with us. But there's one caveat. You can't trade with the United States of America anymore. Why do you think you no longer can get African bananas? Because they went down and signed a trade deal with the African Union. All African bananas can only be sold in Europe. When they go around the world and sign a deal, they cut us out. The whole world will have no choice but follow the beast, because when we collapse, they'll be the only place that they can do business. So when they come up, all men will marvel and they will follow the beast. Men worship the dragon because he had given authority to the beast. And he also worshiped the beast and asked, who is like the beast and who can make war against him? After they've destroyed us, who will be able to make war against them? Nobody else will kind of have the military might and the military industrial complex. Look, the same families are over the weapons companies in Europe that were over them in the 1400s. You don't get that. The same families who armed Charlemagne are still the ones arming the current governments. Nothing changes over there. Whip out your dollar. On the back of the seal, it says Novus Ordo Seclorum, and it means New World Order. We're so afraid of the New World Order. We are the New World Order. The New World Order is American peace and prosperity and trade. What's coming is the old world order, the old world of tyranny. Why do you think our people left Europe? They left Europe because we were being squashed under their feet, killed off in their wars while they partied with each other in the castles. That's what's coming back. The old world order. America's always been the new world order. The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise his authority for 42 months. There we go. His time. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and slander his name, his dwelling place, and those who live in heaven. And he was given power to make war against the saints. This beast is going to be given power to make war against the people of God who are still on earth. And it says, and to conquer them. This is not a war you're going to win. This is not a war you can pray off. You're not going to be able to pray to God and get help in this time. The devil's going to be given power to exterminate you and hunt you down like pack animals, and you will be exterminated and hunted down. And he was given authority over every tribe, every people, every language, and every nation. There's nowhere in the world you can run and hide because he's been given authority over the whole thing to destroy the people of God. All the inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast. Okay? Over the 42 months, he's going to kill them off. We're going to read that. He's going to kill off every Christian. And then every inhabitant will worship the devil and the beast and the image of the beast. That's why the wrath of God is coming. Don't think you're going to survive the tribulation. There's no surviving the tribulation. I love these people talking about mid-trib. If there's a rescue mid-trib, there's no one to rescue. Because mid-trib, all the Christians are dead. He's not going to rescue the wicked. All whose names have not been written in the book of life belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. He who has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to go into captivity he will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword, with the sword he will be killed. This is the scariest verse in the Bible. This calls for the patient endurance and faithfulness of the saints. Man, people who can't be faithful to keep the Sabbath in peace and prosperity, how are you going to be faithful to be martyred for Jesus? If you can't be faithful in tithes when you have money, how are you going to be faithful when you can only have money if you take the mark of the beast? You follow what I'm saying? That's stout. This calls for faithful endurance and patience. You're not going to be able to have that in that time. Oh, that's bad. Revelation 13, verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. And he exercised all the authority of the first beast on his behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been killed. And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to the earth in the full view of men. They're going to be doing demonic miracles in your face to make them think you're God. If you can't worship God now in peace and prosperity, happiness and truth, how are you going to do it then when you live in a time when everything is turned inside out? And you can't trust your eyes. Wow. Because of the signs he was given the power to do on behalf of the first beast, he deceived all the inhabitants of the earth. If you can't do it now, you're not going to do it then. He's going to deceive everybody. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And he was given the power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak. And he caused all who refused to worship the image to be killed. Like I said, every Christian's going to be killed by the time the 42 months is over. Because if you don't worship the beast, he's going to kill you. How can any person who doesn't take the mark of the beast and refuses to worship the image not die? He said he's going to kill them all. You're either going to do it or you're going to die. You're going to have a lot of choices. There's no place to run and hide. Like I said, it's like if a man fled from a lion and ran right into the arms of a bear. There's no place to run and hide. All the earth, every tribe, language, people, and tongue, and every corner of all the earth is going to be looking for you. Do you have the mark? Will you worship the image of the beast? If not, you die right now. There's no rescue mid-trib. There's no one to rescue mid-trib. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead. I showed you at unleavened bread that keeping the days of unleavened bread puts the mark of God on your hand or on your forehead. Keeping the holy days, living this way of life marks you for God. If you don't take the mark of God, what makes you think you're going to be able to refuse the mark of Satan? Ooh. So that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. And this calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is a man's number. And it's not the three Roman numeral, the Arabic numerals you see there, because Arabic numerals are 600 and something years from being formulated. It's three Greek letters, and I'm going to give them to you. If you want to write this down, write it in your Bible. The three Greek letters that formulate the number of this name are chi, C-H-I, Xi, X-I, stigma. And this is the way Brad Scott described this, and he described it so well. The chi and the stigma form the first and the last letters of the name Christos. In the original Greek language, the outer consonants form the body of the word, the same as it does in Hebrew. The middle letter forms the heart of the word, just like it does in Hebrew. Because, you know, I mean, I remember Brady broke everything down to three Hebrew consonants. Every word has a root, three Hebrew consonants. Well, here you've got a word that on the outside looks like the Christos, the chi and the stigma, the Christos, but the zai in the Greek looks like a curled up snake. So here is the number of the beast. He looks like the Christ on the outside, but on the inside he's got the heart of the snake. That calls for the wisdom for you to tell what church looks like the Christ on the outside, but inside has the heart of the snake. Come on. It's the whore that rides the beast. It looks like the Christos. It has the form and the shape, but inside is the heart of the snake. We read right over this stuff like it's nothing. Revelation 6, verse 9. All of this comes back down to anomia. All of these words, wickedness, iniquity, they all come back to the Greek word anomia, which means contrary to the Torah. Nomos is the Greek word for the Torah, the nomos, the law of God. Anomia means contrary to the nomos. Contrary to the Torah. So when we tell you that the lifestyle of the Torah is Sabbath and holy days and the dietary laws and tithing, we go over it over and over and over and over and over. I get tired of going over and over and over and over. I'd like to get into some deeper stuff, frankly. But you know, here's the deal. If you're not walking this lifestyle for a period of time, you don't get the wisdom up here to understand the other stuff we bring out. It comes from the living it, not the talking it, not the thinking. It comes from the doing it with your hands. And after you've done it with your hands enough time, then the insight begins to come into the Holy Ghost. You can't get the wisdom and the insight from talking about it. I had to even challenge Bill Cloud on that. You don't get it from the talking about it. You get it from the living it. Praise God. This is the Sabbath before trumpets. 24 years ago on the Hebrew calendar, Mrs. Schultz and I got baptized the day after church. Hallelujah. 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 This will be my 24th Feast of Trumpets. I've been walking this way for a long time. And it gets better and better and better. Come on, somebody. It's better than any aged wine. It just keeps getting better and better. The more I do it, the better it gets. The more insight the Lord gives me from the scriptures. Oh, that's what that means. Because I'm walking it. I'm living it. And I'm thinking about it. And I'm meditating on it. Let your mind meditate on the law of God. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. And they called out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" These are the people who were killed by the beast. These are the people who refused to take the mark. They weren't wise enough, or maybe they weren't even told how to avoid this to start with. They didn't make the rescue. But they gave the good testimony and refused to worship the beast. And now they're in heaven. They died a martyr's death, but they're there. Now think about this. Can you imagine being under the altar with these folks and realizing that, man, I sat at Hungry Hearts and they told me what to do to avoid all this and I just wouldn't do it. Huh. They want God to avenge their blood. They're not up there saying, "Oh, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do." No, no, they're up there saying, "Lord, how long? How long until you go down to earth and kill those sorry dogs?" They're not looking for forgiveness. See, you're in the grace of forgiveness now. You're in the age of forgiveness. You're in the age of grace. This is the time to get right with God. When this time is over, it's not an age of grace. It's an age of punishment. That's right. And he ain't playing with it. Some people get on me because I don't teach hell. Let me tell you something. What's coming is worse than what you conceive of is hell. What's coming is worse. And there ain't going to be no escape. Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and brothers who were to be killed as they were had be completed. There's a number. And they're told to wait until the last martyr is killed. Why? Because when the last Christian dies on planet Earth, God's going to say, okay, game up. You killed my children. Now guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to open that can and we're going to let some loose on you guys. He's not playing. Let's get into some of that stuff. Daniel 11, verse 40. Daniel 11, verse 40. You know, I'm giving y'all the full-length version because none of y'all have heard this before and you need to hear it, and it's important that this your eyes be open to this. At the time of the end, the king of the south will engage the king of the north in battle. Now, king of the south, king of the north went back and forth. The Seleucid Empire of Syria and the Ptolemaic Empire of Egypt, back and forth, overturn. King of the north ends up in Rome. King of the south are your Muslims, your militant Islamic Muslims. Time of the end, the king of the south will engage him in battle, and the king of the north will storm out against him with chariots and cavalry and a great fleet of ships, and he will invade many countries and sweep through them like a flood. He will also invade the beautiful land. It's not called the land of Israel because, you see, the tribes that bear the name Israel aren't in it. The tribe of Judah is in the land, but their name is Judah, not Israel. It's called the beautiful land because Israel's not in the land. Oh, wow. See, that gets into another whole heavy set of prophecy right there. He will also invade the beautiful land, and many countries will fall. But Edom, Moab, and the leaders of Ammon will be delivered from his hand. That's the country of Jordan. And he will extend his power over many countries. Egypt will not escape. He will gain control of the treasuries of gold and silver and all the riches of Egypt with the Libyans and the Nubians in submission. That's Egypt, Libya, and Sudan are all going to be overrun. The glorious land. He's going to come against these Muslims and subdue them. But reports from the east and the north. Who's in the east? China. Who's in the north? Russia. Those are the only countries that got militaries that are going to be able to go against a superpower. The other little countries combined aren't going to be able to get any kind of... I mean, look at the problem NATO's having in Afghanistan. You want to tell me that all these Islamic countries are going to come and have a coordinated command structure to come out against the European Union? Get real. These guys fight among themselves as much as they fight with anybody else. But the Chinese know what they're doing. The Chinese can march an army out. And in one place it's called 200 million men. Well, guess what? The Chinese have 200 million men for which they have no wives. Oh, you know, the one child policy where they aborted all the girls? They got no wives for 200 million men. Man, a man with no wife is an angry dude. And they got 200 million of them. And now with the recession, they don't have wives for them, but they also don't got jobs for them. Man, any country that's got that many men with no wives and no jobs has no choice but to go to war. Don't you know that's what the kings of Europe have done for centuries untold? They go to war for population control. They don't go to war because they hate each other. They only kill the vanquished kings when things get really ugly. Otherwise, they make treaties and make them vassal kings and they pay tribute. But they go to war for population control over there. That's the old world order. We got too many, so we're going to kill them off. We're going to have a little intramural contest. Now we play football. We like it better, right? The Chinese have 200 million men for which they have no wives and no jobs. And the only thing they can do is put a rifle in their hand and march them to the West. That's ugly. That means they'll be taking wives along the way. Come on. And if you got one and they want it, you die. If you got food and they want it, you die. You got a job and they want it, you die. Because that's the way it is with the Gentile armies. We're not talking about the United States military marching out. We're talking about the Chinese marching out. The Russians are no better. In the little Georgia conflict last year, they found a woman who was acting as a sniper. And as the one Russian commander put it, the boys were a little stressed out and they needed a little recreation. So this is what they did to this woman. They drew her and quartered her. They tied each limb to a different vehicle and they all drove off in different directions and ripped her into pieces. And this is what the commander said. And I'm going to quote it to you. It got a little bloody, but the boys needed the recreation. That's how the Gentile armies think when they march. They're not the U.S. military. They don't have our honor and our respectability and our integrity. They're pagans. And they act like it and they treat everybody like it. And that's what's going to happen here. It's going to get ugly quick. You don't want to be alive in that time period. You want to be there, that's for sure. Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. There are plenty more verses like these. I don't have time to cover them all, just like most times I don't. But if you do research on these topics, you will find plenty more verses to back up what I'm saying. I watched as he opened the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun turned black like sackcloth. There's your sackcloth suns. And the whole moon turned bloody red. There's your bloody moons. And the stars in the sky fell to the earth as late figs dropped from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. And the sky receded like a scroll rolling up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. That's ugly. That's not good. And in the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, every slave and free man hid in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they called to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Like I said, the Lamb has been here. The lion's on the way. When the Lamb of God comes back, he is not coming back to die for sin. He's done that. He's coming back to avenge the blood of his saints. You don't kill any of his precious children without him coming back to face you down in ways you ain't going to appreciate. They're going to be calling to the rocks, fall on me and hide me. But they will not be hidden. For the great day of their wrath is coming. Who can stand? Revelation 8, verse 1. Revelation 8, verse 1. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for half an hour. That means something really bad is fixing to happen. And everybody's like, oh, wow, that one's open. Oh, wow, that one's open. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. We're going to do that on Thursday night. We're going to have the golden altar before the throne, and we're going to talk about it. And your prayers are offered on that altar. You want to see how powerful the prayers of all the people were who were martyred? Let's read on. And then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Don't tell me your prayers aren't heard. Don't tell me your prayers don't have power, because precious are the prayers of the saints. And when they've been offered on that golden altar before the throne of God Almighty, they pack a punch. Down to verse 21. No, I'm sorry. Let me go on down to verse. Let me read through verse 9. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. And the first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down upon the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. So you had the 42 months that the Antichrist ruled on the earth, and he killed off all the Christians, and he made everybody take the mark of the beast, and he consolidated his power, world rule, and authority. And when the last Christian has died, now God steps in and says, okay, my turn. My 42 months. And now you see the plagues come. This is the great and terrible, dreadful day of the Lord. The first angel sounds and there's hail and fire mixed with blood. It's hurled upon the earth and a third of the earth is burned up. The second angel sounded his trumpet and something like a huge mountain all ablaze was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea turned into blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died and a third of the ships were destroyed. Oh, you killed all my saints off, did you? You wrecked off everything I wanted to do. You got rid of my Torah. Oh, you don't want me to be God, do you? Well, look what I think about that. There you go. A third of the earth is burned up, and a third of the waters turned to the blood, and a third of the sea is destroyed. But that's only two out of seven. The third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star blazing like a torch fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. And the name of that star is Wormwood, a Greek word which is translated, it was properly translated asteroid. So God hurls an asteroid from the sky out of heaven and it strikes the earth and it turns all the water poisonous and bitter and people die. Sound good to you? Does it sound like you can outrun the lion and not find the bear? Does it sound like the crying will not be bitter? Many people died from the waters that had become bitter. Down to verse 21. Hold on, that can't be two. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm just keep reading here. And the fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, and a third of them turned dark, and a third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night. And as I watched, I heard an eagle that was flying in midair call in a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the trumpet blast to come." Woe. Not happiness and peace and grace, it's okay. Woe. God's fixing to whoop you in ways you can't even imagine. And the fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth, and the star was given the key to the shaft of the great abyss. Again, stars used in place of angel. The same Greek word is used both ways, angel or star. So here an angel has come down from heaven, and he's given the key to the shaft of the abyss. And when he opened the abyss, the smoke rose from it like the smoke of a gigantic furnace. So much for global warming and no carbon. And when he opened the abyss, smoke rose like a furnace, and the sun and the sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. And out of the smoke, locusts came on the earth, and they were given power like that of scorpions. And they were told not to harm the grass or the plant or any tree, but only the people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. So the 144,000 people of Israel are being protected by God from this, but all the people with the mark of the beast are about to get tormented in ways that are indescribable. They were not given power to kill them, but only to torture them for 5 months. So we don't want to kill the people with the beast. We just want to torture them for 5 months. Does that sound fun? See, if you're not willing to live for God now, what makes you think you won't just take the mark to try to avoid it? But like God said, you're out running a lion only to run right up in the arms of a bear. You'll take your martyr's death. Or this is what you're going to get. I've heard some people, well, you know, I can just take the mark of the beast. It'll be all right. Look what's going to happen to you if you take the mark of the beast. It's not going to be all right. And the agony they suffered was like that of the sting of a scorpion when it strikes a man. During those days, men will seek death and will be denied it. Cut your wrist. It don't matter. God's not going to let you die. Take a pistol and blow your brains out. Though your brains be scattered on the wall next to you, you're not going to die. You're going to suffer every minute of this all the way out because he's not playing. No death. You can't even cop out. You're going to suffer this agony all the way out to the last second of pain because you're not getting out of this. The locusts looked like horses prepared for battle, and on their heads they wore something like crowns of gold, and their faces resembled human faces, and their hair was like woman's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth, and they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the thundering of many horses and chariots rushing into battle. And people say, oh, but that looks like our helicopters. Man, this is not helicopters. This is supernatural destruction from hell itself. It would be great if it was only helicopters. This is supernatural destruction from which you will not escape. They had tails and stings like scorpions in their tails, and they had power to torment people for 5 months. And they had as king over them the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon and in Greek Apollyon. It's the devil. And the first woe was past. The other two woes are yet to come. And the sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice coming from the horns of the golden altar that is before God. And it said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." And the four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. I wonder if some of you guys who went to Iraq thought about that when you were by the river Euphrates. Man, there's four angels bound up in this river. I wonder where they're at. And I wonder how they get released. And I wonder where the kings of the east are going to cross this river when God dries it up. I would have thought those things. I would have been standing there marveling at how God is going to do everything that he's going to do right there. And the four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour, day, and month, and year. There's an hour, day, month, and year already set by the Father when those guys come out of that river. And they were released to kill a third of mankind. They're going to kill a third of mankind who were left on the earth. And the number of the mounted troops was 200 million. I heard their number. 200 million men. The only country on earth who can put 200 million men and march them out is communist China. And since we don't build anything in America, everything's built in China. They got the factories to make the weapons. And Bill Clinton sold them the factories to build the cruise missiles and the airplanes and stuff to bring with that infantry. So it will not come by themselves. It will come equipped for battle and prepared to fight. They can do that. 200 million men. There's only 300 million Americans. It takes nuclear weapons to destroy an army that size. Multiple nuclear weapons to destroy an army that size. Their horses and riders, I saw in my vision, looked like this. Their breastplates were fiery red, dark and dark blue and yellow as sulfur, and the heads of the horses resembled the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and sulfur, and a third of mankind was killed by the three plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur that came out of their mouths, and the power of the horses was in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails were like snakes having heads with which they inflict injury. And the rest of mankind that was not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, and stone, idols that can neither see and hear nor walk, nor did they repent of their murderers, their magic arts, their sexual immoralities are their thefts. Totally unrepentant. Revelation 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there was loud voices in heaven which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who were seated on their thrones before God fell on their faces, worshiping God, saying, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who was and who is and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and begun to rule. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. The time has come for judging the dead and for rewarding your servants, the prophets, and your saints, and those who revere your name, both small and great, and for destroying those who destroy the earth. Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and within his temple was seen the ark of his covenant. He can pour out this wrath now because nobody on earth is in covenant with God. And he's showing, this is the ark of my covenant. And what was in that ark? The tablets of the Ten Commandments written with the very finger of God, which our world utterly refuses to acknowledge or to live by. And the golden jar of manna, which represents God's abundant provision in your time of dryness, which we refuse to acknowledge. And Aaron's rod that budded, that showed you, he chose Moshe and the Aaronic priesthood to stand and minister before him. And we refused Moses. So there it is. We've refused everything in the ark. And there the whole sky rolls back and God's saying, this is the ark of my covenant, and none of you are found in it. So judgment is pronounced on the earth. Revelation 15, verse 1. Then I saw in heaven another great and marvelous sign, seven angels with the seven last plagues, last because with them God's wrath is completed. So we're not done. We got seven more plagues to go. Oh, we've already had seven angels, and it's been real bad, but now it's going to get really bad. That was just playing. That was just warming up. Because God's not done. And I saw what looked like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and standing beside the sea, those who had been victorious over the beast and his image and over the number of his name, and they held harps given them by God, and they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. We sing a rendition of this on atonement because it's so powerful and so moving. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the ages. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. And after this I looked, and in heaven the temple, that is the tabernacle of the testimony, was opened. And out of the temple came the seven angels with the seven plagues. And they were dressed in clean shining linen and wore golden sashes around their chest. And then one of the living creatures gave to them, the seven angels, seven golden bowls filled with the wrath of Almighty God, who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one could enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath on the earth. And the first angel went out and poured his bowl on the land, and ugly, painful sores broke out on all the people who had the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. That doesn't sound good to me. And the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it turned into the blood like that of a dead man. And every living creature died. And the third angel poured out his blood on the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel in charge of the water say, you are just in these judgments, you who are and who were the Holy One, because you have so judged, for they shed the blood of your saints and your prophets, and you've given them blood to drink as they deserve. And I heard the altar respond, yes, Lord God Almighty, true and just are your judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the sun was given power to scorch people with fire. And they were seared by the intense heat, and they cursed the name of God who had control over these plagues. But they refused to repent and glorify God. And the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness, and men gnawed their tongues in agony and cursed the God of heaven because of the pains and their sores. But they refused to repent of what they had done. And the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. And I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs, and they came out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. They are the spirits of demons performing miraculous signs, and they go out to the kings of the world to gather them together for battle on the great day of God Almighty. And then Jesus says, behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes with him so that he may not go naked and be shamefully exposed. You see, you had to stay awake when you were watching guard. And you've been told to watch guard for the sign and the return of his coming. And when they caught a guard sleeping, they stripped him of his clothes and burned his clothes and made him walk out of there naked so that he was despised and humiliated in front of everybody. And Jesus is telling you, did he not tell the Laodiceans that they had to buy garments from him? He's telling you to keep your clothes, your righteous linen, your righteous acts. The white garments are the righteous acts of the saint. And he's telling you to keep hold on your righteous acts so that you don't go about shamefully exposed and be subject to the tribulation. This is serious, and he's stopping to warn you of that right in the middle of all of this. Then they gathered the kings together to the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air. And out from the temple came a loud voice from the throne saying, it is done! And then there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a severe earthquake. No earthquake like it has ever occurred since man's been on earth. So tremendous was the quake. And the great city split into three parts, and the cities of the nations collapsed. And God remembered Babylon the Great and gave her the cup filled with the wine of the fury of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains could not be found. And from the sky, huge hailstones about 100 pounds each fell upon men, and they cursed God. I'm not going to go to Revelation 14. We're quite long, where it talks about in verse 14 through 20, where it talks about the harvest of the earth and all of the kings coming to battle where God will harvest the armies. Or Joel chapter 3, where it talks about the smoke, the blood, the fire, the billows, and the fighting that goes on this day. With the United States and the United Kingdom removed out of the way, you will have the European Union, Russia, and China gather together at Armageddon to fight over world domination. In the middle of all the plagues and all the pain, all the suffering, they're still consumed with conquering the world. Revelation 19. But for some reason, Yeshua Messiah has a different idea how this is going to turn out. And for some reason, Yeshua Messiah doesn't seem to believe that they're going to be successful. Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire. And on his head are many crowns. On his head are many crowns because, you see, he's been given the authority to rule every nation, every people, every tongue, every corner of the earth, and every structure of mankind that will ever be. And every one of those crowns is on his head because he is gonna be king of everybody, all time, everywhere. And he has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. And he's dressed in a robe dipped in blood because it says in one place, I have tread the winepress of God's wrath by myself. He says, and his name is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Who are these people? These people are the saints. And I can say that because if you go back over to verse 8, it says fine linen, bright and clean was given to her to wear because fine linen, bright and clean stands for the righteous acts of the saints. When he comes rolling out of heaven on that white horse, you are going to be seated on white horses with him, coming out of heaven with him. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty, and on his robe and on his thigh his name was written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when you come out of heaven on a horse, the zeet zeets of your tallit come right across your thigh right there, and that's where his name is written, right there in the zeets. He's the Jewish Messiah. He went up a Jew. He's coming back a Jew. He's going to be a Jew, and his tribe is going to be the leading tribe on earth. And I saw an angel standing in the sun who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair, come gather together for the great supper of God so that you may eat the flesh of kings, generals, and mighty men. Perry Stone did a whole special on these flesh-eating birds. They're all over Israel. They've been gathering there for years. Oh, for years they were gone, and they're back. They're back. Because it's almost time for them to eat. It's almost time for the great supper of God Almighty for these birds. And they're coming back from all over the world to the nation of Israel. So that when these three armies get destroyed by Jesus Christ at the Battle of Armageddon, these birds are going to get drunk with the blood of men. And they actually do get drunk. They gorge themselves on flesh and blood until they stagger around and walk around like they're drunk. From so much blood. Come, gather together for the great supper of God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and generals and mighty men, of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, small and great. And then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gather together to make war against the rider on the horse and his army. They're ready to kill each other and cut each other to pieces to be world domination. And they go, look, space invaders, kill the extraterrestrials. And then that sword flashes out of Yeshua Messiah's mouth and cuts them all down. And so great will be the slaughter, it says in another place, that the blood will be as deep as a horse's bridle in the valley. It's a big valley. Have you ever seen a picture of it? It's huge. It's major farmland. Blood will be as deep as a horse's bridle in that valley from the slaughter of all the people. But the beast was captured. And with him was the false prophet who had performed the miraculous signs on his behalf. And with these signs he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. And the two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. No chance to repent. No good for you. Right in the lake of fire. You're over. Done. No repentance. No remorse. No second chance. In the lake of fire. You're gone. And the rest of them were killed with the sword that came out of the mouth of the rider on the horse. And all the birds gorged themselves with their flesh. Yeshua Messiah will set up his kingdom to rule it forever. And there will never be another world ruling kingdom. And in that kingdom, every person will live by the laws of God because he's going to rule with an iron scepter. You're not going to cross him. After he just destroys all the armies on the world, no one's going to cross him. Great Heavenly Father, Yeshua Messiah at your right hand, I praise you, I thank you, I glorify you, I lift you up. I've shown these people what's coming. I'm asking right now that you quicken their hearts by the power of the Ruach HaKodesh to receive the word, that this word will grow and produce the fruit in their life, to worship you, to love you with all their heart, all their mind, all their strength, and all their soul, to obey you, to be the people who can go in the rescue, taken to the Eremos out of the serpent's reach. In Yeshua's name, amen.